Turn with me this morning to 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, as we examine the Word of God. As Peter was closing out his two letters, he closed in this manner: "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. We pray that as we turn to Your Word, that our hearts and minds will be clear for receiving it, that we'll set aside the cares of this world, of this life, for a few moments as we focus completely upon what You have for us today through the proclamation of Your truth. Let Your Holy Spirit work through Your inspired, inerrant, infallible, all-sufficient Word to change our lives today, that we might be more like Christ. Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know the joy of Your salvation and the glory that that brings to You, may Your Holy Spirit do a quickening work in their heart. Father, quicken them to life in Christ today. Use us as an instrument to take Your Word and to lead them into a knowledge, to a faith, and a belief in Your Son, Jesus Christ, and His accomplished work on Calvary's cross on their behalf. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." I want to begin this morning by asking you to ponder for a moment what would happen if a baby would fail to grow. Just paint in your mind a mental picture of what it would be like if a young baby would fail to grow. Now, we know that there are abnormalities that take place in this physical body, and there are on occasions children, babies even, that have physical problems that prevent them from growing at a typical pace. Those things are tragic. But imagine if a baby of 3 months old would just stop growing. What would be the implications of that? Well, first of all, they would require continuous care for the remainder of their life. Someone would constantly have to be looking after them. They would not be able to do anything on their own. They would not be able to clothe themselves, to dress themselves, to prepare themselves for life's work and the accomplishments that we have to take care of in our life. They would not be able to feed themselves. They would not be able to care for just their daily necessities if they were to stop growing at 3 months of age. Now, we often comment about how quickly our children and our grandchildren grow up. And we often find ourselves saying, "I just wish they would just stay this age." No, you don't. No, you don't. The burden that would place upon the family would be extraordinary. No ability to make decisions in their lives. No ability at 3 months of age to interact with other people in a meaningful way. They would never experience the fullness of joy that God would have us experience in our lives with relationships with others. Never able to understand a parent's love for them, or to be able to respond to a parent's love with thankfulness. They would never have the ability to have the joy of friendship, to have the joy of a commitment to others, to eventually find that one person that they would spend the rest of their lives with. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to spend a great deal of time with my son. He's 34 now. What a great day we had together yesterday. The joy that brings to me as a father, the joy that brings to him as a son, and then the last thing that he said to me about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon as he was heading out the door was, "I've got to get home to spend some time with my daughter, who's 2.5 years old now." That's part of the process. That's the way God designed us, was that we would mature and grow and be able to function the way God would have us to function. That little baby would never be able to serve others. No ability to serve itself, certainly no ability to serve other people. They would prohibit others from ever being fully engaged on a personal level with them. Now, let me ask this question, put this in perspective. Is there anything wrong with being a baby? Somebody say no very quickly. No. Absolutely. God's design, God's plan, God's decree, God has a purpose in that. Nothing wrong with being a baby. The problem is if that baby would fail to grow. I hope you see where we're headed with this morning. What a great metaphor, what a great visual picture of the Christian life. But tragically, what an accurate picture of the life of some believers in our failure to grow. We all enter into God's kingdom as babes in Christ. Every one of us. No one is brought into God's kingdom. God does that quickening work in a person's heart that brings them to salvation. He regenerates them into new life in Him. And at that point, no one, not Charles Spurgeon, not A.W. Pink, not F.F. Bruce, not Hodge, not Zwingli, not any of these great titans of the faith, ever came to Christ and then suddenly they were a mature believer. There is a process that is involved in this. We enter into God's family as babe. Nothing wrong with this. It's part of His plan. But there comes a point when we as believers have to grow. When we become less dependent upon others for the things of life and godliness. When we become the giver rather than the taker. When we become the giver rather than the taker. When we become the counselor rather than the counselee. When we become the teacher rather than the student. Now hang on to that for a minute, because before we reach the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to take you through some scripture to verify this in case you have any questions about it. The believer that fails to grow fails to fully grasp the sovereignty of God, the love that He has for His people, the care that He has for His people, the desire that He has for His people. They fail to grasp His promises as they go through life, and life is a roller coaster for them. They fail to grab a hold of His precepts, those things that He would clearly have us know from His Word, and life is a roller coaster for them. He or she, and this is what it ultimately comes down to for the life of the person, the life of this believer that felt that willingly, and it's a willing choice on our part. We're not robots as believers, by the way. We're not robots. We have a choice in this. But here's the ultimate reason that a person fails to grow in Christ, and that is selfishness. I am going to live my life my way on my terms. They have a selfish view of life. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Boy, what a condemnation. What a condemnation. And of course, we're very familiar with the issues of the Corinthian church. But what a condemnation for Paul to stand before you and say, I have to treat you. You're not a lost man anymore. You're not carnal anymore. You no longer have that carnal nature. You have a new nature redeemed by Christ. But I have to treat you like the heathen that are living in the world. Although you profess Christ, I have to treat you like you're carnal. I can't speak to you in spiritual terms, even as unto babes in Christ, he says. So he's confirming the fact that these people have come to know Christ as their Savior. They're simply not growing. He says, I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. You can't take the meat of the Word. You're not ready to understand the deeper things of God that get you out of the issues of life that you face like you're on this roller coaster every day. He goes on to say, for ye are yet carnal, acting like you're a lost man, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, infighting, jealousy. He's describing the church. He's describing the church. If you wonder why the church has issues, it's not because we're from different backgrounds. The church doesn't have issues because we may speak a different language, a different dialect. The church doesn't have issues because we have a different skin color. The church doesn't have issues because we have different personality types in the church. In this little small church of ours, we run the gamut of personality types. We have young, we have old, we have middle-aged, two or three of you, and Patty. young. That's not why we have problems in the church. Paul says very clearly, there's envying, there's strife, there's divisions. You're walking as men outside the church walk. That's why you have divisions in the church, is because you are failing to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're like that three-month-old baby that stays a three-month-old baby, constantly needing care, constantly needing someone to look after you. Well, I would ask the difference, and if you want to follow along in the bulletin, there's a very brief outline. You may be asking at this point, what's the difference between sanctification and justification, regeneration, redemption, glorification, adoption, conversion, all of these theological terms that we use to describe us coming out of the world and coming into Christ, coming into the church? Well, that's a great question if you're asking that. All of the above, all of those that we mentioned, happen instantaneously. Your conversion, your justification, all of those positional things that you have in Christ happen instantaneously at the moment that that Holy Spirit does a quickening work in your heart, with the exception of sanctification, the growth process, growing from being a babe in Christ to a mature believer. That is a process that begins the moment Christ does a quickening work, the Holy Spirit does a quickening work in your heart, until the moment that you're glorified. We'll talk about that a little further. When we fail to cooperate in this growth process, this ongoing process, this progressive process, when we fail to cooperate in this, when we fail to cooperate with God and our part in this process, then we are destined for spiritual failure. So if you're asking yourself today, as so many people do, why is my spiritual life a train wreck? Why is my spiritual life a series of ups and downs like a roller coaster, but it's never taking me anywhere? It's probably because you're not growing in Him, not because He's not doing His part, but because you're failing to do your part. The writer of Hebrews says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, this takes us back to our comment in the introduction, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again to the very first principles, the very first oracles of God. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We are to be growing. The babe who refuses to grow becomes hostile and selfish. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. If you fail to grow, you'll be the opposite of this. You will be hostile and selfish in your daily life. Do you struggle with that? Do you struggle with selfishness today? Do you struggle with hostility towards others today? You're failing to grow. The babe who refuses to grow becomes divisive. Back to 1 Corinthians that we read just a moment ago. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither ye are now able. For ye are not, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions. You walk as men outside the church walks. The babe who refuses to grow becomes divisive in the church. Is there division in the church today? Do we have aught against one another in the church today? Again, it's not because of our personalities. It's not because of our backgrounds. It's because we're not growing in Christ. The babe who refuses to grow becomes easily... Listen to this. The babe who refuses to grow becomes easily discouraged or depressed. Everybody raise your hand. Metaphorically. Don't actually raise your hand. But you've been there. You've been there. You face discouragement. You face despondency. You maybe have faced the depths of depression. Contrast that with the believer that Paul describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Because they're feeding on the meat of the word, not the milk of the word. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now, this is easy for me to stand here and say this. Boy, it's another thing altogether when the doctor looks at that blood work and says, we think it's changed. But this holds true in spite of our circumstances. This holds true regardless of where you and I are. He's going to be there with us, but we have our part to do. We have our part to do to stay out of that despondency, that discouragement. We have to grow. It's easy to spot a baby Christian, by the way. It's just as easy to spot a baby Christian as it is to spot a baby person. And it's not because of physical stature like it would be with a baby person. They're filled with drama. Their life is constantly in turmoil. They're unable to handle the pressures of life that Paul just described a mature believer as handling in 2 Corinthians. They are feeling-oriented versus command-oriented. Feeling-oriented versus truth-oriented. Feeling-oriented versus precept-oriented. They respond to the things of life based upon their experience and their feelings, not based upon the verity of the Word of God. They act like babies, in other words. Spiritual babies act like physical babies. Always dependent upon others, never able to give or receive joy, always needing the help of others, never growing. And finally, the babe in Christ who refuses to grow will be unable to give a good account at the judgment seat of Christ. Boy, now this is the one that should get our attention. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. This speaks of growth. Now, whatever that judgment seat entails, and we don't have a lot of details on that, I just know one day that we're going to stand before him in all of his glory. I know that much. And I want to stand before him as a person that has responded to his word, that has grown in accordance to the precepts of his word, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in me and causing me to grow. So that should cause us to ask a couple of questions this morning. And number one is, why must I grow? Why must I grow? Well, number one, we have the greatest example of growth ever, and that's our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, follow me on this, because this does no harm, this does no violence to the fact that Jesus Christ was God incarnate. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh upon this earth, eternally, eternally God, and in a moment in time came to this earth in the form of man. And he grew, and he grew spiritually. And he is our example. Listen to a couple of passages. You can find more on your own time. Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and with man. That's growth. Hebrews 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Boy, that takes me to the Garden of Gethsemane. When in all of his humanity, knowing what lays ahead for the next couple of days, knowing the suffering that he would take upon himself for the sins of mankind, for the sins of God's elect, knowing everything that was before him on that cross, he cried out to his Father, not my will, but thine be done. That's our example. He's our model for spiritual growth. If the sinless, spotless Son of God could grow spiritually, then certainly sinful man has a need to grow spiritually. So he's our example. It's also commanded that we grow. Our text, 2 Peter 3:18, says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word grow is an active verb. It's in the present tense. Refers to a continuous or a repeated action. This is ongoing. This is not some transformation that takes place at the new birth and then we stop and do nothing else. It's active. The action is accomplished by the subject. That's you. In cooperation with God, the Holy Spirit, and His Word. And it is in the imperative mood. In other words, it is a command. It's not a suggestion. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's also God's plan. We often use this verse in the wrong manner. We don't limit to this verse. There's a lot of verses that we use in the wrong way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not meant for the quarterback that's getting ready to take to the field of play, by the way. In his spiritual life it is, but not in order that he can throw a spiral. It's God's plan. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate for a purpose, to be conformed to the image of his Son." Now, at the moment of redemption, we're not conformed to Christ. We've just been regenerated. We got a long way to go. But it's God's plan in Romans 8:28 that we be conformed to the image of his Son. So God, when I take the field to get ready to throw that perfect spiral, let me do it for your glory and let me be a witness to my teammates. Not so I can have some superficial victory on Sunday afternoon. John MacArthur describes this as the prize of the upward call. He describes Romans 8:28 and 29 as the prize of the upward call that we find in Philippians 3. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. There's work involved in pressing towards the mark. It's not done by osmosis. It doesn't just occur. It's also necessary to avoid theological error and tragedy. We are susceptible to anything that carries the label Christian. You can produce a movie, call it Christian, have, I can't remember if it was 14 or 17, clearly identified heretical teachings in that movie, and Christians will flock to it like it's the greatest thing on earth because they're still in the milk of the Word. They are still babes in Christ. They have no ability to discern, and it's typically that feeling-oriented, experientially-oriented believer that's on that roller coaster ride. And he goes and he sees this movie and he gets this spiritual high. And then the next day he gets bad news and he has no idea how to handle it because the movie doesn't tell him how to handle it. The Word of God tells him how to handle it. They have no experience in the Word of God. So their life is a roller coaster. Growing in Christ is necessary to avoid theological error. 1 John 2, a passage that we will get to very soon in our study of 1 John, says, "I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." According to John, biblical and theological stability characterizes a growing believer. According to that passage, theological and biblical stability characterizes a growing believer. And then finally, we should anticipate the reality of Ephesians 4, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, a mature man, it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are to be perfected. The word is maturing. We're to be maturing men and women, growing toward the prize of the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, toward the likeness of Christ in our daily walk. This doctrine is the basis for all of the church's ministry to believers. So what's the purpose of this? What is the purpose of growing in Christ, not only to our benefit, but the benefit of the church? Well, think of this. Consider the nursery. Consider Vacation Bible School. And consider Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. A precept, by the way. Not a promise, but a precept. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul tells Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The salvation process, it's not speaking of the redemptive moment. This is not speaking of the moment that you are born again in Christ by the quickening of the Holy Spirit. When Paul says that you've known the Holy Scriptures that have made you wise to salvation, he's talking about from the moment that the Holy Spirit took over in your heart and redeemed you until the time that you're glorified. That's based upon your knowledge, your truth, your growth in the Holy Scripture. Consider music. Psalm 33 says, "Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and the instrument of 10 strings, sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his works are done in truth." We have to grow into that. Consider deacon care. In Acts, they called a multitude of the disciples to them and appointed leadership in the church so that the apostles could give themselves to the Word and prayer so the church could grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Consider the men's fellowship. Consider our ladies' Bible studies when they get together. Consider our funeral services. Consider our funeral services. I don't care much for funeral services. Rod, pay attention in case you have my funeral service. This is what I don't care for. I don't care for funeral services where you get up there and you say flowery words for 15 minutes about the deceased. I want a funeral service where my God is glorified for the difference that He made in my life. For that to be my final testimony to a lost and dying world that may be here to hear it. Don't talk about me. Talk about my Savior. Think about when we get together for lunch and how that grows us and edifies. I had an opportunity several times this week to meet with people in this church. Oh, what a wonderful time that was. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. We get together as a body of believers to edify, to build up to one another for our spiritual growth, not only as individuals, but as believers in this body of Christ. Everything we do as a body of believers is for this purpose. Greeting one another, loving one another, comforting one another, bearing one another's burdens, praying for one another, confessing our faults to one another, encouraging one another, speaking the truth in love to one another is all for the purpose of 2 Peter 3:18, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there are obstacles. We've mentioned one, the movies. The good movies. There's obstacles that we need to guard against that'll keep us from growing. As in the case of that small child, hopefully, if you have a child, a baby that's not growing, the doctor can identify something that is causing that baby not to grow and find a remedy for that. Well, God's Word gives us a remedy for those of us in the faith who fail to grow. Number one, there's no quick fixes. The church is not an emergency room. Jesus didn't teach us to pray, give it all to me now. Jesus didn't teach us to pray, give me my bread on Sunday, and give me enough to get to next Sunday. Right. Jesus taught us to pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. There are no quick fixes in the life of the believer. This is probably, to the pastors that I have served under and served with, the most frustrating thing to a pastor. You'll have a believer that is sporadic in their attendance. They come once in a while when they want to. And then tragedy befalls them, and they want to meet with them on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock to fix the problem. And we know what that's a symptom of the problem. We know what the problem is. There's no growth. There's a couple of other things that gets in the way. There's no perfectionism in this life. A few hold to this. A few hold to this holiness perfectionism. There's no theological basis for that. But if you know someone that holds on to that, there's two issues with that. Number one, pride gets in the way. Pride gets in the way because look what I'm doing for God. Look how good I am being for God. Or discouragement when you think I can be perfect. And then you find out on Tuesday that that's not the case. The Bible doesn't command it. It's based on experience and feelings, not on truth. And then the one that gets most of us is decision-based transformation. Decision-based. Now, listen to this. Hold on to this. Salvation solves all of our problems, right?
No.
Scripture never replaces sanctification with justification. You're justified the moment that the Holy Spirit does quickening work in your heart. But salvation doesn't solve all your problems. This is the one we grew up with. I've rededicated my life to the Lord. What does that mean, by the way? You're going to try harder? You're going to try harder? I'm going to do better? Some babies have eye disease. Stop being mystical and get into God's Word. There's no such thing as decisional regeneration. You didn't decide. You didn't decide anything in your spiritual life, by the way. You conformed to Christ. You conformed to His Word. You were obedient to His Word. There's no such thing as decisional sanctification. Amen. Or another one, I've laid it all on the altar. The altar is a good place, guys, by the way. I'd ask you, why did you go there? Why did you go? The altar is a place for confession, for forgiveness, for repentance. Seeking God's help and understanding and applying His Word. There's nothing magical about that. There's something very spiritual about it. Or how about let go and let God? Just let go and let God. Boy, what horrible advice. What horrible advice to give somebody. There's no place in God's kingdom for a lazy believer. When Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that implies there is something for us to do in cooperation with God, His Word, and His Holy Spirit. So how does all this work? How do I grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We have to understand that it is God working in us, working in you as you work out your own salvation, Philippians 2:12. For it is God working in you to make you a better person, to give you your best life now. No, it's God working in you, just like Romans 8:28 and 29 says, for His purpose and His glory. And that implies in that passage in Philippians a continual work to bring something to fruition. That's the meaning of that passage. So how do I grow in, and this is where Friday, Saturday, and Sunday comes in. How do I grow in faithfulness? Well, I dig into God's Word and see what it says about faithfulness. How do I grow in stewardship? Well, I just let go and let God. Boy, if He wants me to put it in the plate, He'll give it to me. No, I dig into God's Word and see what it says about faithfulness in stewardship, in giving. How do I grow in service? I dig into God's Word. I look at the people God has put in front of me. I model them and I model Christ in my service. How do I grow in my marriage? How do I grow in my prayer life? How do I grow in my ability to raise my children for the glory of God, for parenting, for my spiritual giftedness? How do I grow? I dig in the Word of God. And that's where we're going to have a tremendous opportunity this weekend. All of those things I just mentioned are topics that are coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in our conference. So the first thing you do to grow is be here Friday night at 7 o'clock. That's kind of shameless, wasn't it? Start growing. Don't wait till Friday night. Don't wait till Friday. Start growing today. That's the purpose of our conference, to help you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of this message this morning has been to challenge you in that regard. Are you growing? Are you still a babe in Christ being tossed about with every wind of doctrine that's blown around? Your life is a roller coaster. Your life is up and down. Your life is one constant tragedy after another. You don't know how to handle the things of life. Or are you living as a mature believer, facing the things of life with God, with His Word, with His Holy Spirit working through you, all to His glory and your good? Let's go to Him in prayer.